Folks, as we come just to look at this parable of Jesus and reading some of the commentaries, some of the scholars, they were all saying this: don't read it like you already know it. But it's really hard to do that because we have read the first part and then we've read Jesus' explanation. And yet there are other things happening as we come to this passage that we need to get hold of. John Stott, great theologian, says, less is said in this parable about the sower than anything else in the story. And yet we talk about the parable of the sower. There's my laptop playing silly games again. I'm just going to keep going. There's so much going on in this story. We call it the parable of the sower, but in reality, it's the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. The sower, the seeds, and the soils. Read with me, please, verse 1 to 4, because we usually ignore it. And actually, the sower is busy doing his work in verses 1 through to 4. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to the other, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping support him from their own means. Verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. Wow. Jesus is the sower. Jesus is the sower. Look at that 4 verses, the person, Jesus, the place, traveled from one town and village to another, the purpose, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And then look at the people. Verse 1, the 12 that are with him. The disciples. They walked with him. Verse 4, we read about the crowds. But in the middle here, we read verses 2 and 3 about the women. If you like, actually, those who were downtrodden, those who were usually not mentioned in society in those days, so the women usually didn't get a look in. But also when you read in the story, there are those who had been delivered, those who had been delivered from evil spirits. What's happening here? The people that are often forgotten about, the disciples themselves are the nobodies, are the people who don't have the great jobs, they're not living in the palaces and the corridors of power. They are walking with Jesus, the disciples, the downtrodden and the delivered, the women who are there, and the crowds, verse 4, those who are desperate, those who are despairing, who are coming to Jesus, and the house, and or as Jesus is speaking, the large crowds are gathering. So Jesus here, folks, is the sower. I've never noticed that before, but Jesus is the sower, and he's sowing the seeds. The seed of his word in the lives of people. He tells this story. Verse 5, the first part. A farmer went out to sow some seed. A familiar story. Actually, some of the scholars say, you can actually imagine Jesus sitting somewhere, maybe at the edge of a town, and he's looking out over the fields, and he sees a farmer going out to sow some seed. So it's a familiar, everyday, ordinary picture, a common picture from everyday life. A farmer went out to sow some seed. As he was scattering the seed, now here, stop, because we have missed something already. Michael Card, in his little book, says, in the ancient world, the farmer would scatter the seed and then work it into the ground with the plough. There we go. Many people didn't know that. Because we think modern day, The farmer goes with the plow, prepares the field, digs it up right to the edges, get as much as you can, acreage here for the crop and for the yield. But in ancient days, the folks had a strip of ground, and they would go out and sow the seed, and then for their wee patch, they'd just throw the seed willy-nilly around their area, then they would dig it in and they would work it into the soil. So whenever we read as he was scattering the seed, it's not into a nice fancy piece of ground or a field that's in our heads. Let's keep going. The soil, verses 5 through to verse 8. And we look in verse 5, the path. Okay, wee musicy question. Anybody ever heard of Runrig? Proper band, Ian, proper band from Scotland, from the Western Isles. But the name of the band actually is from a farming background. That a rig was your patch of ground. As you were a small landowner, you had a rig. And beside your rig was another rig. Beside that rig was another rig. And in between were the paths where you could walk up and work your ground. It was a run of rigs, so run rig. Just by the way. The farmer went out to sow some seed. And so when some fell on the path, well, that's why. Because it was small plots of land for the villagers. And so the path was hard worn as those who tilled the ground walked up and down those paths. But the farmer had just thrown the seed out. And some went on to the area you're going to till, and some went on to the path. That's the picture. The rocky ground. Again, in my head, I see big rocks poking out. That's not what's meant. It's meaning the shallow ground at the side where there's rocks in underneath, where the soil only goes this deep rather than this deep, if we get the picture. So there again, the rocky ground. Among thorns, it looks clean, but at the end of the day, it's contaminated. Looks clean, but at the end of the day, it's contaminated ground. And then the good soil. I've talked before, remember David keeping us right about going to Donegal for 7.5 years, lifting rocks. The only way you do that in East Belfast is to throw them at somebody. The farmers go every year to lift rocks, to clean the field, spreading lime. And why? I never understood it, other than it spread out and maybe went on your car. But the whole idea that you're preparing the soil, but that's not the culture of today. The sower, the seed, the soil. Some seed fell among the good soil. So the sower, the seed, the soil, that's familiar, folks, isn't it? Then there's this, well, I'm just calling it the sidebar. Hopefully this will make sense. Verse 8 through to verse 10. What is happening here? So verse 8 through to verse 10. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Thinking, what? What does this... So Jesus has spoken about the sower, he's spoken about the seed, he's spoken about the soil, and then, be ever hearing, but never perceiving. He's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. He's saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In our money, if the cap fits, put it on, wear it. How are you understanding God's word? If the seed of God's word is being cast before you, how are you hearing it? John Blanchard said a lovely thing in his little book. The parables become windows to some people and walls to others. You get that? Parables become windows to some people. Oh, look. And walls to others, thinking, you just can't see past it. You can't get it. The seed, if you like, does not drop. Let's keep going. The sower, the seed, the soil, the sidebar. Let's go back to the seed. Verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Thinking, yeah, Gordy, knew that from the beginning. The seed is the word of God. But we have just sung, folks. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word and take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. It's not just a wee story. Lord, take the seed of your word into my life. And through your word, shape and fashion me that I be more, maybe more like the Savior. And actually, the heart of this parable is the parable of the soil. Sting has a wee song called The Shape of My Heart. Folks, what is the shape of your heart before God today? What is the shape of my heart? Is the soil of my heart in a place where I can receive it? Verse 12, the path. Those along the path are those, are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The seed, if you like, that is stolen. Let me read you. I use for my daily devotions Life with Lucas. Very simple, easy reading. Not very long. I would recommend it to you just to find that wee space in your day. But as I was reading just the other day, this was part of the reading from Jeff Lucas's devotions. Talks about way back, beginning my first day at Bible College as a Bible College student, I sensed the anticipation in the room as our Old Testament tutor entered, and I thought he had launched into Genesis. But he had a more devastating message. He says, according to statistics that we have gathered, 10 years from now, half of you will not be walking with Jesus. Guard your hearts and your faith. First day of Bible College, all the anticipation in the world. We were incredulous, writes Jeff Lucas. Surely we were not likely to abandon our faith. Some had given up lucrative careers to pursue theological training. Others were mature students, seasoned Christians. I decided that our tutor must be wrong. Tragically, he got it right. Some of those eager students ended up in prison cells. We may be saved, but we still have to contend with the sinful nature. Let's choose well today in the knowledge that yesterday's commitment is no guarantee of faithfulness tomorrow. Karen actually had this very same experience yesterday morning as she and I were at Bible College with Laura Sanlon, who was speaking at the PW breakfast yesterday in the lodge. And Karen and Laura caught up afterwards, and that account, maybe not in such stark terms, is true of people that we shared 3 years at Belfast Bible College with. What is the shape of our heart? How do we hear, and how does the seed go down deep? The path where the seed gets stolen, the rock where the seed goes onto shallow ground and gets scorched. Psalm 1 tells us about the person of God is a person that's like a tree planted by streams of living water that yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. But as the seed lands on rock and the roots go down and last only a brief time and with the heat of the sun and with no moisture, it just withers and dies. Folks, can that be our heart? I remember reading years ago in Selwyn Hughes' Little Everyday with Jesus, this little phrase, collapse in the Christian life is seldom a blowout, it's usually a slow puncture. I've never forgot that. Collapse in the Christian life is seldom a blowout, it's usually a slow puncture. So we just drift. We dry up. We don't continue with the disciplines of a good, healthy Christian life and relationship with the Lord. And rather than a one moment and it's all gone, we just slowly drift. We all need to be careful. What are the thorns, verse 14, among the thorns that suffocate and strangle? Richard Foster wrote a book, very famous book, called Money, Sex and Power. He says it's the three major things in lots of different little ways that can actually choke our faith. Because that which we should be making priority gets pushed to the side. And it becomes money. It becomes relationships. It becomes the sense of power and I'm in control rather than in humility the Lord in his place. The writer to Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Folks, what are the thorns and the briars and the brambles that creep into our lives? Breaks my heart when I look back on Manor Cunningham, because out the back window from our kitchen, Karen and I spent so long. There's this big flower bed and then a big high wall. And the top of the high wall was those old, you know, the hedge and plants with the red flower in them that you see along the road, do my head in. But they just, every year, they just took over the place. And when the boy came with the tractor to cut the hedge, I would say, would you go in the back and just scorched earth policy, just get rid of them all. But they just kept coming back. And we had made this lovely flower bed and planted these climbing roses, and it was beautiful. And every year these plants just, nobody's tended it now for over a year. My heart's broke. We need to tend our hearts because the thorns, the briars will come in and take us away and choke the life out of us, suffocate us and strangle us spiritually. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, J.B. Phillips' version, talks about, let me just actually read it all, maybe. 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he goes, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. This is money. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men and women into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So not money, but a love of money, and is a root of all kinds of evil. Money, sex, and power. J.B. Phillips puts it like this. They fall into the world's traps, lay themselves open to all sorts of silly and wicked desires, which are quite capable of utterly ruining and destroying their souls. Folks, for you and I, this is really familiar ground, isn't it? No pun intended. But the seed of God's word to land in our hearts, it is the path where it gets stolen. Is it the rock where it's shallow and then gets scorched and just dies because there's no life and no sustenance in it? Is it among the thorn in our heart where we're suffocated and strangled? Dale Ralph Davis says, Christ just gets squeezed out. My goodness, folks, how easy it is for Christ to get squeezed out of our lives as we make other things priority. The good soil, verse 15, where life is sustained. Let's just go back and read the verse itself. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The good soil, where spiritual life is sustained, where growth comes. William Barclay simply says this: three things. Pay attention, keep retention, and live it out in action. The person who listens, who learns, and who lives. As we come to the Word of God, as it goes deep in us to shape and fashion us in His likeness, we need to pay attention, we need to listen. We need to then keep retention, like the cow chewing the cud on however many stomachs it just goes over, regurgitates and regurgitates. To meditate is where that word comes from. And as we do that, as we turn God's word over in our hearts, we learn. But that's not enough to then come to a place of action where we live it out in our lives, that we live the word of God as we are shaped and fashioned. Verse 18, let's just jump below verse 15 where we finished the reading. Verse 15, again, I never realized the link between the next few verses until preparing. Verse 18, Jesus talks about no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar. But verse 18, he says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. For all of us, consider carefully how we listen to the seed of God's word in our lives. Back to verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Folks, just as we close, Jesus is the sower. The word of God is the seed, and the world is the field. Because here in these stories, verse 19, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. What's happening? Jesus is again scattering the seed. And there's a crowd that are there, hungry to hear what he would say. So when we read of the sower, actually, broad brush, it's an act of grace from God. That as the seed is scattered, it is an act of grace from God. The seed is a picture of God's word, and the soil is a place of growth. And just as the band come and gather up to lead us as we sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, a song that reminds us of the love of God, folks, just take a few moments to consider the shape of your heart and what God is saying to you today. Is the soil of your heart like a path where the seed gets stolen, the rock where it's shallow, the thorns where it's suffocated, or the good soil where your life spiritually is sustained by all that the Lord by His Spirit wants to give you?